It's a new year, a new season, but the same voice here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines. It's presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. I'm Rocco Nucci, and we are once again joined this year by the one and only, the legendary John Telich, who joins us now on the hotline. Again, this is Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. JT, good morning to you, sir. How are we doing? And I gotta imagine you're excited for another season of football as we get this month of August underway.
Yeah, I'm really excited, Rocco. First of all, great to be with you for another season. Thanks very much to the outstanding sponsors that we've had, and of course to our amazing listeners who have been with us for several years now, so it's been a delight. I'm really excited because this is on paper, Rocco, and I know paper is so much. In rocks, paper, scissors, what does it do? It covers the rocks, but it can get cut by the scissors, so, you know, it's paper. And so on paper, this looks like a real good football team. So I'm excited to see what they do, and obviously we'll get a few answers in game number one of the preseason, the pre-preseason, if you will, with the Hall of Fame game in Canton tonight.
And I do want to discuss that Hall of Fame game with you because I think it is, you know, obviously, ultimately, it's not totally meaningless. It doesn't count for anything, really, but guys are trying to prove themselves, and it's the return of football, so there's some excitement, and we'll get to that here shortly. But leading up to that, our boys spent a couple of days over in the Mountain State at the Greenbrier in West Virginia as fans got a little bit of a first taste about what this team might look like this season. What did you see from their time spent just one state over?
By all indications of what individuals have told me that really had the chance to be there and to see each and every practice up close and personal, the beat writers and folks of that nature, real productive and, you know, a bit of a different atmosphere than what you would see in the mini camps and the OTAs, because let's just say, like, the receivers really in the OTAs, you can't really put your hands on them per se, so, you know, they're getting out free into open space, whereas at camp, the DBs have more of a chance to lay hands on them. So you're getting more of a true indication of how a receiver does against a defensive back and what have you. I think they have a strong defensive backfield. The quarterbacks, you know, with, of course, Denzel Ward and Newsom and Emerson, you know, that's a good core. So it'll be great to see this receiving core kind of develop alongside the defensive backs during their practices. And so to answer you, and through it all, Deshaun Watson has looked real good, not just in the mini camps and the OTAs, but with this newish type offense, more honed and catered to his skills. He's had some real nice practices strung together. So that's super encouraging. But again, we're here at the Hall of Fame game. That's tonight, this Thursday night against the Jets. You won't see the Hall of Famer of the Jets at quarterback. You won't see Watson, but you'll see Kellen Mond start. You'll see Dorian Thompson Robinson, the DTR, as he is called. He'll get snaps in the second half, so that will be kind of fun to see, you know, how things go there. And so, yeah, I'm just excited to see how they go from here on out. You've got Joshua Dobbs backing up the starting quarterback, so it's going to be kind of fun just to see what goes on with this team, and starting with their play tonight down at Tom Benson Stadium.
I'm glad you mentioned the DBs and the receivers making each other better, because I couldn't agree more just seeing some of the different clips from training camp that I've seen so far. A couple in particular of Elijah Moore, the newcomer at wide receiver, and Denzel Ward going at it. I mean, those two, as they say, it's been iron sharpens iron with them going at it. I think that really could pay dividends for a receiver room that I think has a lot of depth on paper, though, as you say.
Yes, they do. You know, Marquise Goodwin with the blood clots has allowed, you know, other people to get more snaps, like Anthony Schwartz. This is make or break time for him for obvious reasons. Other guys like Jalen Darden, you know, he's missed a couple of practice. Maybe you have something there. But Elijah Moore, great pickup, I think, from the Jets. And you do have questions as to why things soured in at the Meadowlands for Mr. Moore, but I think the opportunity for him to get work done with Watson in this offense is going to be really fun to see him, along with Donovan Peoples-Jones and, of course, Amari Cooper, the mainstay of that group. And while we're at it, you know, you've got to also like Kansas City counts their tight end as one of their receivers, just a big one, and a Hall of Famer in the making, and Travis Kelce, you have to include Mr. Njoku in the realm of this passing game, because I think we're going to see Watson throwing on the run more, and not many targets are as big and as athletic and able to go up and get the football the way David Njoku can. So this potentially could be an outstanding year for him on the offensive side of the ball.
JT, back to the Hall of Fame game quickly. Yep. And the last thing on it, does it mean anything extra to you compared to other preseason games? Obviously, it's played at a unique location at the Hall of Fame, Tom Benson Stadium there in Canton. But is there any extra oomph behind this game because of that, or is it just kind of a preseason game at the end of the day?
Well, you know, it's the early one. It'll be a lot of the backups and the rookies that will get a lot of time to play. And so it's another chance to evaluate people that are in the back end of your roster. And most of the first teamers and second teamers who got full were in full pads and got tons of reps on Tuesday in a big practice a couple of days ago. That's a lot of the work that they're going to have for the week. They'll have a big practice, I believe, on Sunday that they'll be able to get more and more work out of. But it's just a chance for some of these guys. You get some answers on some of the guys in the back that will help you realize that, okay, maybe you've got to go out and sign another defensive back or go out and sign another defensive lineman, because you won't see Miles. You won't see Za'Darius Smith and those types of guys or the Denzel Wards of the world, but it will give you a little bit more knowledge on some of the other guys on the roster. So I know it's the Hall of Fame game. I know it's a big week for the Browns Hall of Famer as well, obviously, in Mr. Joe Thomas.
Yeah, of course, and I mean, if we could, you can quickly talk about what his presence will mean, and just kind of his career overall. Hard to believe, Mr. Thomas becoming a Hall of Famer, and it just doesn't really seem like all that long ago that he was protecting the blind side for Cleveland's numerous quarterbacks. But here he is, finally getting his due.
Yeah, it's really crazy to think that time really flies. It's been 6 years since that game. I believe it was Week 7. Of the 2017 season when he tore, that muscle and had to come out of the game, and then that ultimately was the last play that he ever played in his career, the 10,363 straight plays. I mean, not many people, are lionized, if you will, or put up on the side of a stadium just a number of 10,363, but that really symbolizes the greatness of Joe Thomas. For this guy to be, first of all, a Pro Bowler his rookie season, and then pretty much just about every year that the guy played in the league, for him to be so steady. And I think it's really admirable, too, in so many ways. A lot of people will say, okay, Joe Thomas played for all those losing teams. All right, he had a streak of 10,363. Sure, he went to Pro Bowls and all those types of things. But there were people around the league that always pointed towards his technique, how he played the game. And when you're playing every play in every game, and many of those are losses, it does not make you a loser per se. It makes him an incredibly stable, incredibly an individual that you can rely on to the nth degree. And that's how he played his entire career. People don't know that he barely could practice the last 2 years of his career. Twice a week, this guy would have fluid drained from his knees. He had injuries. He tore ligaments. He continued to play football, and it's just amazing the track record that Joe Thomas had. And I'm excited to see the presentation towards Joe. It's a big deal. His beautiful bride Annie, the mother of their brood of children, they will be the presenters. His family, how fitting is that, will be the presenters for him in Canton. And he'll be the last one. He'll be, the final Hall of Famer to be up there on the stage at Tom Benson Stadium. Very exciting for him. Always been a class guy. Appreciated by everybody in the game of football. Yeah. So it's just going to be real cool for Joe Thomas. And one real quick side note, not only is Joe going to go into the Hall of Fame, another one of his contemporaries, his former teammates, Josh Cribbs, he was named to this year's class of the Greater Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame, and, you know, certainly richly deserving of that mm-hmm. honor for how great of a player Joshua Cribbs was for the Browns in those years when the teams weren't really that great.
Yeah, two Brownie legends right there, and well-earned for both of those men right there, no question about that. Back to the current Browns, JT, and I want to ask you about the defense with new defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. And again, we're kind of in a wait-and-see territory until, you know, we get to know what his defense will look like once these games start to really matter. But so far, have you noticed anything significant about what he might be bringing to that side of the football for these guys?
Well, he's definitely got an aggressive attitude, and I think what he'll do more than anything on that defensive line, you're going to have a lot of guys running in and substituting a little bit more freely than what you saw in the past. And so not necessarily hockey lines, you know, a group coming off the ice, another one hopping over the boards and coming into the game, but close to it. And so I think, you know, Myles Garrett maybe having a few more snaps, but being fresher for them, that'll be good. And then the versatility of the guys playing up front, where you could have Za'Darius Smith maybe, you know, playing inside on occasion, or obviously Myles could move up and down the line. He's that tremendous at what he does. They'll be playing a little bit more free, a little bit more go to the football, maybe not as much, you know, plugging up holes per se, just playing more free to the football. And then I think he'll have a little bit more man cover for the defensive secondary, so that will affect what they're able to do up front. Those guys up front will really have to fly to the ball and be sure tacklers, because as you know, if you're playing man-to-man on your guy, you're not as observant of what's going on behind you in run coverage. So I'm excited to see. I think he has a certain cachet towards him, a respect, a factor that the players certainly buy into. And, you know, we'll see how good of a leader Za'Darius Smith can be, how good of a leader Myles Garrett will be, see what things shake out in the linebacking core, because they're guys coming off of injuries, and that's right now very early as we stand here before they've even played one snap. That's something that we'll watch, and that will evolve as camp evolves, because more guys will be coming free from the things they were dinged up with in the past.
Yeah, so we'll see what lies with that defense. Expectations are certainly on the rise, I think, with that group. They got to be better than they were last year if this team wants to succeed, no question about that. So, JT, my last one here for you, kind of a two-part question. I guess it's kind of, well, it would be on the field. These white helmets in these white uniforms that the Browns have unveiled this offseason, as well as this 50-yard line vote competition thing that we're doing again this year, as Brown of the Elf won last year, has a chance to win again this year. But what's your take, I guess, on both the white helmets, the white uniforms, and what the 50-yard line logo could potentially be?
Well, my favorite uniforms of all time were the white pants and the brown tops. That's what I envision a lot when Jim Brown was playing, and I was a youth, if you will, and he was my favorite player. But when you go back in time, I can still visualize the old black and white videos or films that are out there of the great Marion Motley wearing that white helmet. Of course, back when he played, no face guard, but they have the white helmet and the all-white uniforms, and I still can remember Marion Motley playing with those high-top black cleats that probably weighed 2 pounds each. They were that big and that massive. But that's what I envisioned, the old-style, tremendous Cleveland Browns teams with Otto Graham and Marion Motley and Dante Lavelli, and a young Lou Gross with those white uniforms. So the throwback year this year, we're going to see it debut in week 2 at Pittsburgh. Then there's going to be 2 home games where you see all the white, including the white helmet with the orange piping down the middle, which is kind of cool looking. Week 6 at home against the Niners, and then week 17 when the Jets come and play a primetime game. I'm looking forward to that. I always enjoyed those. The old school throwback stuff. I understand uniforms don't make you a great player. It's more than the pinstripe in New York. It's the fact that you are a quote Yankee, and I think that carries a lot of weight to it. And I think with the Browns, it obviously it's a marketing thing. I mean, let's not kid ourselves, but I think it's kind of a cool thing to see the old stuff. So 3 weeks, you'll see that kind of a get up for the Brownies.
And who's your pick for the 50-yard line logo, Mr. JT?
I'm going to go with the dog this year.
Ooh.
See how the dog does in that competition. How about yourself, Rocco?
Wow, the dog's kind of the dark horse. I don't know. I'm actually a fan of just the stripe. I don't know if you've seen the different designs, but I'm a fan of just the stripe right down the 50-yard line. I think that's a classic, cool look, nothing too crazy about it. And I don't know, either that or the helmet, I think, is what they should go with. But the dog wouldn't be a bad pick. I mean, he's the new logo, so why not just throw him right there on the 50, right? I mean, could work.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I know we had a lot of fun with the elf last year, and then, of course, the joke when that prankster got loose on the turf there in his truck or whatever the heck he was driving last year and gouging up the grill. Let's keep the trucks off the grass and just have some touchdowns to talk about as opposed to dogs and or elf and or stripes down the middle. Whatever.
Yeah, couldn't have said it better myself. Well, there we go. Well, we're out of time here, JT. I promise we'll get to some high school stuff next time around,
sure.
If not the week after, as high school football is, you're well aware, more so than a lot of people in this area, right around the corner. We can't wait for that to get started. But excited for another year with you here on From the Sidelines, JT. Looking forward to it and just looking forward to another fun football season with you.
Me too, Rocco. Always enjoy it, my friend, and look forward to talking to you guys again next week. Have a good one.